The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Maybe we should have believed politicians like Bolshevik Bernie when he was praising Hugo Chavez, Hollywood celebrities like Sean Penn praising Hugo Chavez, left-wing columnists like David Sirotkin praising Hugo Chavez, talking about the economic miracle occurring in Venezuela. Maybe we should have believed their affinity for Chavezian policies. Were they ever to get power and the ability to advance them, isn't that what we see happening, both in terms of law as well as in terms of culture? For more on this topic, where America might be going, and a couple of gentlemen who can offer some cautionary tales, please be joined again by Andres Guillarte and Jorge Galicia. They are regular speakers for the Fund for American Studies. They have been doing college campus tours across the United States for many months now, attempting to warn young people in America about the ravages of socialist policies, because they've seen those ravages firsthand in their home country of Venezuela. Andres and Jorge, thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Dan, for the invitation. I really appreciate being here again.
Well,
thank you, Dan, to be back in your show.
Yeah, yeah, pleasure to have you guys back. So, you know, sort of give me a sense of, you know, you started pre-pandemic with this college tour, and now you've come through, and obviously we're currently dealing with it. Just give me a sense of how people, young people, are receiving what you have to say about Venezuela, and perhaps some of the comparisons you're making to the policies being pursued today, and maybe even more poignantly so in the last 30 days.
Absolutely, man. So we started pre-pandemic. And, you know, we all have always received support from the students because they know the struggles that we're facing in Venezuela. And we have seen a lot of solidarity. We also saw a lot of misinformation. A lot of people didn't know that Venezuela was that bad. A lot of people didn't actually believe that it was true, because, you know, not always the media gives the actual picture of what is going on. And also a lot of people didn't know that, you know, that also can happen here and everywhere, because the thing is that if you don't manage your resources appropriately and you start implementing socialized policies that aim to just control population instead of giving liberty, then you're going to have the same result. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. You're always going to have the same misery in your country if you don't put freedom before solidarity and this kind of stuff that you're trying to control people. So what we've seen in the last 30 days, well, you know, the Biden administration has been signing a lot of executive actions because he believes that he cannot gain support from the Republicans, or he doesn't want to. But we have seen that they're starting to make unilateral policies. And, you know, we're going to start seeing those results in the upcoming months. And maybe they're not going to be as good as they think they will.
Is there an appreciation among the students of what's happened and continues to happen in Venezuela? I mean, just the displacement of Venezuelan families alone numbers in 5.5 million that have fled to neighboring countries like Ecuador and Colombia.
Well, Dan, I would say a lot of the students, or I have met a lot of the students during this last year, and some of them have this crazy idea that, you know, all of the bad economic results that we're seeing from Venezuela and all of the humanitarian catastrophe, it is all because of, you know, United States sanctions. And I think it is laughable to be credible, because, you know, the first sanction that we ever saw against the Venezuelan economy didn't arrive until the year 2017. And we have seen the collapse since at the very least, the year 2014. That year we have been seeing leaving the country, a starvation all over the streets. So this is the consequences of a failed socialist system that it was never going to work, and hopefully we cannot allow something like that to happen here in America, because as Andres said, if we follow the same ideas, if we follow, if we apply the same policies, we're gonna end up in a pretty similar situation, unfortunately, and we don't want that to happen.
When we come back, I want to get some perspective on the questions you get asked as you tell your story and you address some of the policies that they're otherwise inclined to support in a domestic context, and they can't understand how they can have such implications in Venezuela. And just sort of starting from the premise that so many start from, which is, well, what we see happen in a country like Venezuela or in the Soviet bloc once upon a time, well, that can't happen here. I'll get your perspectives on that. Speaking with Andres Guilarte and Jorge Galicia, they are speakers for the Fund for American Studies, and they are continuing their college campus tour trying to educate young college students in America about the dangers of pursuing the socialist policies that have become incredibly popular, become popular and incredibly so is probably a better way to say it. We'll be right back with more.
Listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking with Andres Guilarte and Jorge Galicia. They are Venezuelans who are in this country doing a college campus tour to educate American college students about the dangers of socialist policies. They're regular Fund for American Studies speakers as well. Gentlemen, the it can't happen here argument. What happened in your country, Jorge and Andres, that's a terrible thing, but America's different. And even if we pursue some of the same policies that the Chavez and Maduro governments have pursued, that can't, what happened in Venezuela can't happen here.
Well, you know, the scary part is that probably it's not going to happen the same thing. It's going to probably happen something completely different, because it's not always the same misery, you know? I mean, it depends on the country. Like, it's just like a cancer. It depends on the person. It can be really hard. It can be totally different for a person to person, but in the end, you're going to die because of that if you don't treat it well. So in Cuba, we have seen what has done to that country. We see what has happened in the Soviet Union. We see what happened in China under Mao. We've seen how it happened everywhere. And the scary part is, how can that be here in the U.S., the country of freedom? How can something like that happen here? Well, the thing is, like, if you start, for example, enacting policies of you spiking the minimum wage, doubling in many, many states that they didn't have it in that amount, from $7.5 to $15, and you're going to start seeing, like, it happened in California, where Kroger's just shut down in a county two of these stores, because of course, if you just enact that you're going to double the cost that you're implementing in the wages of your employees, and you don't have somewhere else to get the money from, you're going to start closing stores, or otherwise you're going to start increasing the prices of your products, just like you happened in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez increased the minimum wage a lot of times, and also Maduro, and eventually the stores can manage that.
Right, and so minimum wage policy, printing money, crackdowns against dissidents, not respecting anybody that has an opposing viewpoint. I mean, when you start to draw some of the parallels, like the one that you just mentioned, minimum wage, since we're talking about $15 minimum wage here mandate, what's the reaction you get from students?
Listen, I think another important distinction that we have to make here, you know, a lot of the students, when I talk to them, they say, well, but listen, we don't want the kind of authoritarian socialism that you currently have in Venezuela. We know that's bad, but we want democratic socialism, right? But you know, every time I hear this idea, and what I reply to them is like, listen, the first major steps Venezuela gave into socialism was when we were still a democracy. You know, in 1975. Venezuela nationalized our oil industry. They started to create a lot of social programs, subsidies, minimum wage, all of these kind of bad policies. And because of that, that's when actually the decline of Venezuela actually began. And the economic crisis that policies created, it was basically the reason that we got someone like Hugo Chavez elected. So I always try to explain to students that, in a sense, at least to Venezuela, democratic socialism gave us the path to, you know, to the more authoritarian socialism and hardcore Marxism that we currently have in Venezuela.
Right. We want with the redistribution without repression. Well, that's sort of like wanting the water without the wet, it turns out. And I know a lot of these kids have a romantic view of democrat socialism. They look to Scandinavian countries and so forth. Well, number one, it turns out that according on the Economic Freedom Index, some of those Scandinavian countries turn out to be more free than the United States at present. I mean, thinking about things like school choice in Sweden and 401k style pension programs, even in places like Chile, as opposed to public sector pension programs. So you know, it's not so easy as they want to make it, so tidy as they want to make it. And the problem in the United States is, and you guys speak to this, is different than those Scandinavian countries or Western European countries, is, you know, this is not a homogenous country. And particularly when you have so much of the population and a political party that's obsessed with identity politics, that, you know, the intersection between those two, the redistributionist impulses of the Democrat Socialist and the demography and the radicalization that identitarian politics has brought to certain quarters in this country. I mean, that is really a dangerous mix for something akin to the autocracies we've seen in other parts of the world.
You're absolutely right. You know, in Venezuela, Chavez also started to implement this kind of identity politics. You know, it didn't start with gender, but it started from nationalism. For example, it started to implement a lot of from the Native Americans in Venezuela, starting to say that, well, if you came from if you're an immigrant, if you're an European-born kind of Venezuela, if you have European blood, then you were not an actual Venezuelan, and stuff like that. Because in the end, the problem when you start in combining identity with politics, it's that you're not going to start creating more conflict between people. And what happened in Venezuela is that most of the business owners of that time, they were sons of the European immigrants from the 40s and the 50s. So when he started implementing policies against them, and demonizing them and demonizing other people, well, eventually they started also attacking their businesses, and that's how he got the cultural upper ground to say, well, if they're bad, then if their business are bad, and we have to take them, we have to confiscate it and give it to the people. It depends on the country. The country, something like in Venezuela, they did it against the European boring. The son of those immigrants in here, they're saying they're doing it against white people, for example, or stuff like that. And they can say whatever they want because they are the ones in power. Right? You can't just combine identity with politics, because in the end you have to enact politics for everyone. Or like we want it to be like that. You don't put names on politics. Just you like you have to open the politics. You have to open the laws. That is just for everyone. It doesn't matter what identity you are. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It's just open to everyone. But what we're seeing here in the U.S. is they're trying, if they want to end the conflict among some races, well, they're actually just increasing it.
We got to take one more break. I want to come back with Andres Galarte and Jorge Galicia. They're Fund for American Studies, TFAS speakers, doing college campus tour. I want to understand how you are being received by the administrators and professors on college campuses that you visit when you're talking to the students. We'll have more with these gentlemen right after this.
Listen to podcast of the show at danproftshow.com.
Welcome back to the show. Pleased to be rejoined by Andres Galarte and Jorge Galicia. They're Fund for American Studies speakers from Venezuela originally, doing a college campus tour in America to try to inform American college students about the implications of socialist policies, authoritarian regimes like the Chavez and Maduro regimes in their home country. And guys, how do the, adults, quote unquote, on college campuses, the administrators and the professors, how do they receive, how do they react to what you have to say about Venezuela and socialism when you're addressing their students?
Well, then I would say, you know, majority of campuses where I have visited so far, the welcoming has been pretty great. I did have a kind of a weird experience in Oklahoma where one professor said to the audience before my presentation starts, she said something like, hey, if you have a disagreement with Jorge, what you have to do, you have to go to the back of the stage and sit by giving, you know, behind your you have to give your back to him to express that your disagreement, and that's it. I don't know, that was super weird, and
it could have been worse. It's pretty immature, but it could have been worse. It could have been, back in the day, back when I was in college, I remember if you disagree with the speaker, you sit there politely and you disagree with them, and then you maybe ask a question or make a point in disagreement when it comes to Q&A.
Exactly.
But I guess that's a antiquated notion these days.
Yeah, I feel like I'm that, like in the kindergarten. I don't know. But other than that, I feel it has been great, and we have had some really great debates in different campuses. I did have in Indianapolis and in Texas in Montana some situations where I would say this were the students, not the professors, where they vandalized our flyers that were promoting the event. And also in Texas, we had a group of students that were outside the room where the event was going to take place, and they were screaming bad stuff. But at the end, they allowed the event to happen, and they didn't even get into the event to hear what I had to say. So, yeah, that has been my experience with campuses.
Vandalizing flyers or defacing flyers and trying to shout you down or prevent you from speaking. How ironic that they don't understand this is exactly what you're talking about happened in Venezuela.
Yeah, exactly.
They're providing a case study in the veracity of what you're saying. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Andres Gallarte and Jorge Galicia, Fund for American Studies speakers, doing a college campus tour, coming to a college campus near you to address students about what happened in Venezuela and the cautionary tale it presents for America. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Brought to you by the Fund for American Studies. The Fund for American Studies is an educational nonprofit that is changing the world by developing leaders for a free society, offering transformational programs that teach the principles of limited government, free market economics, and honorable leadership to students and young professionals in America and around the world. Download a free ebook to learn how you can become a champion for liberty at teachingfreedom.org.
This is the Dan Proft Show.